Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Now, European people are not having enough children. They are at below replacement fertility, and we are told that the only strategy to deal with this is mass immigration. Now, that has all kinds of problems which I've looked at elsewhere. But a key question that's come to my attention recently is this. Does multiculturalism cause native European people to want to have fewer children? I.e., is multiculturalism making worse a lack of desire for children, which is already there, because if we are in an evolutionary mismatch where there's not lots of death and mortality salience surrounding us, we generally don't want to have children? And the answer seems to be yes. So that's what I'm going to look at today. Before I do that, could you do me a favour? Could you please, please, please subscribe? Could you subscribe here on YouTube? And could you subscribe on my Substack? That's jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most based stuff, where I put in-person interviews, where I put my vlog, where I put films I make, where I put all kinds of stuff. And if you like what I do, you can support me for the cost of a pint of beer a month. I know it's annoying to be asked, but could you please just subscribe? It helps me most violently. Okay, back to the video. So a YouTuber called Cremo, sorry, a Twitterer called Cremo, has drawn attention to a recent study which has shown something extremely interesting. And this is that based on the 2020 census, white fertility in America, which has declined as the number of children under five compared to the number of white females aged 20 to 39, increases the whiter the area is. White percentage was defined as those under 40 who identify as white, and homogeneity was defined as an area being 75% and 100% white. And this was an extremely fine-grained analysis, so it was able to look at extremely small areas or subsections of towns or whatever of societies. And that is what is found. It is found that in the areas where it was highly homogenous, on average, people had 0.46 children, whereas in the areas where it was highly heterogeneous, where it was highly multicultural, it was 0.36 children. So that means that an area that is white, that is overwhelmingly white, the fertility among whites was 28% higher. So on the face of it, something about living among whites, if you are white, seems to increase fertility. People want more children. Now, what is going on? Well, a number of possible explanations were presented in response to this paper, which, by the way, is called E Pluribus Porceres, Out of Many Fewer, Diversity and Birth Rates. A number of possibilities. One, it was suggested that we tend to have rural areas. These areas that are overwhelmingly white are likely to be rural, and rural areas tend to have more children. Why? Because they tend to have, or they used to tend to have, lower IQ, i.e. less intelligent people are less likely to move out towards the cities. They're lower in openness and things like that. They have more space in which to have children, and property is cheaper, and so they can buy a larger property if they live in a rural area. However, I don't know why they suggested these things in response to Cremo, but I don't know why they did, because the paper makes it absolutely clear that even when you control for these kinds of things, when you control for the immediate impact of immigrants, when you control for this, all of these possibilities, urban versus rural, whatever you can think of, racial isolation seems to elevate birth rates. So you can control for income, you can control for all of these different factors that would tend to reduce IQ, i.e. Poorer people tend to have more children or whatever. And what you find is that it's still the case. It's still the case. Moreover, they've got data on this even in the census of 1860, when most people were farmers and most people lived in rural areas and so on. And even then, racial isolation was associated with increased fertility, even in rural areas, and heterogeneity was associated with reduced fertility. So what's the reason for it then? What is the explanation for why white people in white areas have elevated fertility compared to white people in more diverse areas. Now, that paper I mentioned earlier was an allusion to a paper by Robert Putnam called E Pluribus Unum. And what it showed was the effect of living in a diverse area on your psychology. What happens, in essence, is that trust collapses even within race, because you fear that members of your own race, rightly, that members of your own race will collaborate against you with the outsiders. And certainly you don't trust the outsiders. So social goods and giving to charity and all kinds of civic goods, they all collapse. And people basically seem to become something like depressed. And indeed, there are a number of studies that have shown that depression and anxiety are negatively associated, not just with having children. There's a study called Association Between Depression and Likelihood of Having Children, which shows that people that are depressed are less likely to have children, particularly men who are depressed are less likely to have children, even if they're mildly depressed. Women have to be more severely depressed and not want to have children, presumably because they have a greater inbuilt desire for children. For some reason that we could possibly look at. But there's another study called Influence of Perceived Stress on Fertility Intention Among Women of Childbearing Age Without Children. And what this study finds is that if they are stressed, if they are anxious, if they are anything like that, then they have less of a desire for children. Now, there's a very interesting book by E.O. Wilson called The Social Conquest of Earth, in which what he observes, what he notes, is studies indicating that when you are confronted with a person who is a stranger of your own race, you react very differently to when you are confronted with a person who is a stranger of a different race. Only in the latter case does it trigger your amygdala, i.e. your flight fright response, your fear response, the most primal part of the brain. Now, why would it do that? Because we are evolved to be with people that are genetically similar to us. That is our evolutionary match. And thus, anything that is different from that is a potential threat. In prehistory, you'd be part of a tribe, and someone from a different tribe would wipe you out. And the more genetically distant they are, the less of genetic interest they have in you, and the more likely they would potentially be to wipe you out. So this makes sense as a response. And so I think this starts to make sense of what is happening. Again, I go back to this notion of an evolutionary match. We have certain inbuilt instincts, and these tend to be induced in our evolutionary match. And there is a degree to which, if we are in our evolutionary match, like a dog running around in the forest pretending it's hunting, we are happy. Our evolutionary match is about 50% child mortality, to be surrounded by death, essentially. When we are surrounded by death, our instincts are induced. These include ethnocentrism. These include a desire to have children. And in general, if people are exposed to mortality salience, or even primed with mortality salience in experimental conditions, then they desire more children. They regard children as cheaper. And they have an increased desire to name children after themselves to obtain a kind of symbolic immortality. They are also more likely in these circumstances to be religious, more likely to be essentially conservative and group oriented. So it induces our basic evolved instincts to be in that kind of situation. Now, obviously, this means that the more environmentally sensitive people will be less likely in an evolutionary mismatch to have their instincts induced. What is it that makes a person environmentally sensitive? Well, one of the things is intelligence. Intelligence involves the ability to rise above our instincts and logically solve a problem. And so we would expect intelligent people to be more environmentally sensitive. So it makes sense that, and also intelligence is associated with being evolved to very, very specific niches rather than being a generalist. It's associated with something broader called K strategy, which I've looked at a number of times in my videos, this is this idea that if you evolve to an environment that is unstable and easy, then that's you don't need to find it. It's less competitive. You don't need to find a very, very specific niche. And also, it doesn't select for intelligence because there aren't many problems to solve. And it doesn't select for cooperation because you don't need to cooperate to survive. You need to be aggressive to survive. But anything, it's an environment of live fast and die young, of have sex as quickly as possible. Don't bond with people, because if you bond with people, that can never be repaid. So don't bond with people. That's the environment. As you move towards an environment that is stable yet harsh, then there's lots more problems to solve, so it's that selects for intelligence, and you have to be able to cooperate with people. And if you don't nurture your children, then they'll all just die. So you become a sort of a nurturer of the children. This changes the nature of personality, and this is K strategy. So K strategy is associated with a pro-social personality, with to some extent intelligence, and also with finding a very, very, very specific niche in which you can survive. So obviously, if you're taken out of that niche, you're in an evolutionary mismatch, and then you're in trouble. And then your instincts might not come out. And that would be a selection event whereby people who were more instinctive, that had more hardware than software, would survive that. And that's what seems to be happening at the moment. It's selecting for people that are instinctively religious, that are instinctively desirous to have children. So we can see that this is a kind of an attack. If you are in a multicultural society, it will tend... It's an evolutionary mismatch. It creates dysphoria. It creates what Putnam called anomie. It creates a general sense of something not being right. It creates a kind of anxiety. And this makes you not want to have children. So not only are your instincts to have children not induced because there's no mortality salience, but you have a kind of a depression, a vague depression and stress, not mortality stress, but just generalized stress, which makes you not want to have children. And this will, of course, be a selection event for the kind of people within the society who instinctively, for whatever by whatever genetic chance or whatever, do want to have children, and they will have children. If you place these more environmentally sensitive people in an all-white area, then that stress will be reduced, and therefore they will want to have children to a greater extent, and they will have children to a greater extent. So the presence of multiculturalism is a selection event which causes white people to not want to have children, and which selects for the kind of white people who won't, whose genetics is such that even this pressure won't interfere with their desire to have children, and they will have children anyway. This is what seems to be the case. Multiculturalism reduces fertility. The counter-argument is, well, why is it then that fertility in Korea and Japan is so low? To which my answer would be that they are particularly K-strategic. And if you look at my book, Making Sense of Race, or my book, J. Philippe Rushton, A Life History Perspective, then you'll see that on every measure, they are higher in nurturing and lower in basically your desire for promiscuous sex. On every pretty much every measure you can think of, they are evolved to a harsher and more stable ecology, and they are more intelligent, and so therefore you would expect them to be the slightest deviation from their evolutionary match, from their niche, would mess them up. They would need far less of a deviation from their niche to not for their instincts not to hit in. So they don't even need multiculturalism for this to happen to them. They just need the slightest deviation from their niche. And that is what they have seen. And so that would explain why their fertility is lower than that of whites. So, it's not 100% clear, but I think we pretty much have our answer. Multiculturalism is introduced as a means of solving the problem of low fertility on the part of Western people. But it seems that multiculturalism decreases further that fertility, which will then presumably lead to calls for more immigration and more immigration and more immigration. Multiculturalism reduces fertility. That seems to be pretty much it.
Are you ready for the future of the West?